Hey, this is Mac Tite from eSeduce.com, and tonight I got the opportunity to interview John Sin of Sins of Attraction for the second time. I know right before Christmas I got to interview him once before. If you haven't heard that one, you can go to eSeduce.com/newsletter, sign up, and I'll mail you that one. And in that one, basically we just asked John a whole bunch of questions about sticking points people have. But today we're going to focus on flaking and phone game. Because John is so, you know, he's got a lot of knowledge about that. So, hey, welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mac.
Let's just start out here. Let's start with flaking now. That's a word that we use in the seduction community a lot. I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but basically it's a real problem a lot of guys have. They get good at approaching, they get the phone number, but then they try to call the girl and, you know, the girl just blows them off. So can you kind of explain what flaking is and the what's going on in the girl's head?
Sure.
It causes it?
Yeah. What happens is you go out, and flaking is basically the third major sticking point that every guy in the first year is going to have. There's about five of them. The first one, obviously, is approach anxiety. Then you've got holding conversations and stuff like that. And then once you get better at that, you start getting phone numbers, and you start to realize that the phone number in and of itself is not anything, really. What happens is, unfortunately, as technology has advanced, the idea of phone numbers and them leading to sex has not really advanced with it, right? I think back in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, even early 90s, if a girl gave you her personal unlisted telephone number and you called her at a time where she was home, there was a good chance she was going to pick up and you'd be able to get a hold of her and you'd be able to set up a date, and then she wouldn't be able to text you on the way. Once you made that date, before a cell phone, there was really no way for a girl to cancel it without straight standing you up, which is really, really rude and doesn't... Girls are not really likely to do that, especially if you have a chance to see them again or, you know, whatever like that. So as technology's kind of advanced, it's made it easier and easier for people to become flakier and flakier. Because now, if I meet a girl, everyone has caller ID, right? Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone has caller ID. So if I'm talking to a girl and she doesn't really like me that much, but she kind of just wants to get rid of me, or, you know, I ask her for a phone number and she's not really that interested, there's no burden on her. It's not her only personal landline like it was in the 80s and 90s. And she has caller ID, so she knows exactly who's calling her all the time. And she can even program something into her phone that says, like, do not answer, or, you know, random club guy or something like that. And then her caller ID will tell her not to answer it, right? She looks at her phone, she sees who it is, and she goes, oh, I don't want to answer that or return a text message. So there's not really any investment on a girl's part anymore in the 2000s. Now that they have caller ID, they have cell phones, it's not as personal of a thing. So what that means to guys who are going out and getting phone numbers and trying to turn those into dates is that the phone number doesn't really mean shit anymore. Girls will give you phone numbers to get rid of you. Girls will give you phone numbers with no intention of picking up. And I want to hedge that by saying not all girls do this, and this isn't always what's happening. You know, girls also give you their phone number when they like you. But the whole idea of giving a girl a phone, giving a girl her phone number away or anything like that, it's just not that big of a deal anymore. Now, the second thing is you have to realize when it comes to cold approaching a girl, when it comes to meeting a girl you've never met before, she doesn't really have any investment in the interaction. So when she gives you that phone number, the emotions are really high and it feels really good. And she feels like in that moment when she's, you know, kind of buzzed and maybe doesn't remember that she's dating someone already, or, you know, she's really attracted at the time, or she's just having so much fun, she feels like maybe she would hang out with you again. But then the next day when the emotions change, there's no investment. She's not going to run into you again, right? If she meets a guy at a house party with a few friends, right? Let's say I have, you know, five people over and there's three girls and two guys, and one of my male friends meets my female friend and they hit it off and she gives him her phone number and then she just blows him off and never picks up the phone again, there's a really good chance that I might have more people over, we might all go out to dinner, we might run into each other, and now she's going to have a socially awkward situation. Right? With cold approach, you meet a girl at a club or on the street or wherever, if she doesn't ever pick up your phone call or text, there's not really any of the social pressure or peer pressure on her that she, that's going to make her feel bad about it. Instead, she's just kind of like, oh yeah, that one time, I forgot. So you've also got that going on. And the last thing that goes on is that girls give out their number a lot. This is something that I think maybe guys don't want to think about because they think that, you know, they don't like thinking about the fact that there are guys out there who are getting, you know, four or five women's phone numbers a night, or that, you know, the girl that they talked to for 2 hours and thought they had a really good connection with gave out her phone number five times before they even met her. So there is that confusion, and there's also drinking. If you're dealing with bars and clubs, a lot of the time, when a girl gives you her phone number, she's drunk and she's not going to remember you the next day. She'll remember maybe having a conversation, but now she's got to kind of retrace her steps because the consciousness is just not the same. So there's a lot of things going on. You also have the idea that when a girl gets a call from a random guy, you know, or a text, whatever, because now most of the time people text. A lot of people don't even talk on the phone now anymore. But what happens is she's looking at it, and she might not remember who you are, or if she does remember you, she's thinking, why is this guy texting me? And of all the reasons there could be, there's one overwhelming theme, which is he's trying to fuck me. So at the moment that she gets her text message or the call, she may, you know, she may be hungover, she may be, you know, out with her friends, she may be at work, she may be, you know, tired, she may be in a really bad mood because something happened to her at her job. And when you send like an average text like, hey, it was really nice meeting you last night, or, you know, hey, I wanted to take you out to dinner, she's not in the same emotional state, and she doesn't really have any other reason to want to hang out with you other than if she's interested in you, you know, dating-wise or sexually, and most of the time she's not going to be, especially if she, you know, gave out her number five times or doesn't know who this is or, you know, was drunk or whatnot. So there's a lot of factors working against you when it comes to flaking, right? You also have – then you have different types of flaking, right? Then you have the girls who you can get on the phone or through text, but they don't show up for dates or they don't commit to dates, right? You have the girls where you're on an endless cycle back and forth, but nothing solid ever gets shorn up. And you also have girls who, you know, don't pick up the phone at all, don't text back, don't call back, or call back, but, you know, again, won't let you actually get to a real date, or they make a date. And in rare cases, I think once in my entire pickup career has a girl made a date for me with a specific time at a specific place and then not shown up, you know, like the flat out stand up. That doesn't happen that much. You know, most of the time the girl makes the date and then texts you like 2 or 3 hours before that she's not going to be able to make it, or you text her trying to set things up and she says she's not going to make it. So all of those are various forms of flaking, and they kind of relate to how much you made an impression on the first night and how well you followed up. And lastly, you know, how much she invested in the interaction and actually wants to set time aside in her busy life to actually meet up with you. So there's a lot of psychological factors going on there after the phone number.
So basically, you know, you brought up a lot of points of what's going on in the woman's head. Now, is there things that the guys can do to, like, I mean, is there like mistakes they do or things they can do to prevent it from happening?
Yeah, there's like five major things that really, like, one of the cool things about flaking is that it is a very, very common sticking point, you know, and at some point there is going to be some randomness. What I always say when I'm teaching students in real life situations or on the phone or whatnot is that in order to deal with flaking, you have to kind of have the mindset of dealing with flaking. Like, when I get a phone number, I never assume the girl's going to pick it up, no matter how well the interaction went. Because I've had interactions. I remember one time, this was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, I was out on a boot camp, and I was just doing really, really well that boot camp. I think 2 out of the 3 nights I ended up getting laid. And the third night was this, I met this girl who was really hot. We had a lot in common. We made out. We hung out like all literally from like 10:30 to like 1:30. Lisa Leverage, Styles' girlfriend at the time, like, went to the bathroom with her, and she, like, was just telling Lisa about how much she liked me and how awesome I was. And her friend got drunk around 1:30, and she was like, well, I really want to keep hanging out. And I was like, yeah, me too. I'm like, but you know what? Your friend's drunk. Like, we're going to see each other tomorrow, right? Because I set up a date perfectly. Like, we had something to do the next day. She's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm like, okay, well, cool. I'll give you a call tomorrow morning. You know, get your friend home safe, and I'll talk to you later. Right? Because I was like, it's so on. There's no chance that, like, anything's going to mess up. So I called the girl the next day. Never picked up. Called her, like, for probably about a week after that, just thinking maybe something bad happened. You know, never got a call back. Never return call or text or anything. So there is some randomness to it, meaning sometimes you'll talk to girls for 4 hours and they won't pick up their phone ever, even though, you know, they basically told you they were in love with you. And other times you'll talk to a girl for 90 seconds on the street and get a phone number and you'll call her. And the first time you talk to her on the phone, she'll be like, hey, let's hang out. I've had both of those situations happen. There is just some random element to it. So don't take it personally. That's the big thing I tell everyone, is just don't take it personally. You've got to look at this like you're adding contacts to a business. Like, if you're like, as if you're a salesperson and you're basically, you get a bunch of leads that you're trying to turn into dates, which are your sales, right? So, you know, on the average week, I get, you know, 6 to 7 phone numbers and I usually go on 2 to 3 dates. Right. And then, you know, what happens is then you have long-term and short-term phone and text game too, right? Some girls, you talk to them for 15 minutes in a club, you kind of know that's a soft number close, as I like to think of it, right? A soft number close is just kind of a, like, there's attraction, we have a little bit of something going on, I can work this girl on the phone, and maybe a month from now she'll come out on a date with me, right? And then there's, like, harder closes where it's really, really on and you know you're going to see her within 2 to 3 days. So you have to be aware of all of that. But there's really, like, 5 big mistakes that guys make that hurt their flaking. And I'll explain in a second. But the thing about flaking is it is realistic. It is realistic to expect a 80% or above percentage on phone numbers you get turning into dates. Like, that is completely realistic. It's you have to do a whole bunch of stuff, but if you do everything right, around 80% of the time, girls will pick up, remember who you are, and be willing to go on dates with you, like, pretty easily. So that is not hyperbole. Like, when guys say that, like, the big statistic things, like, a lot of guys say, like, oh, I can approach 5 girls and lay 5 girls. No one can do that. But if you're good at phone game, follow-up, and dates, you should be able to have about 80 to 90% percentage-wise going from phone number to, like, full close. Like, that's not unrealistic. Like, 10% randomness, maybe 20% randomness on certain months, but you're not going to be – and again, you're not going to be getting, you know, 45 phone numbers a week and being able to do this full system to set up the anti-flaking stuff. But you can definitely get, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 phone numbers and get, you know, 4 or 5 dates – over the course of a week or two from that. Like, that's realistic from my life and guys I work with over, like, a period of about 4 or 5 years. So at this point, I feel confident saying that this stuff really, really does work when you do all of it, not when you just do pick little distant pieces and parts of it out. But if you have a full system, it really does eliminate your flaking, like, 80%. So the first mistake guys make, this actually happens in the initial pickup. Like, a couple of these mistakes happen in the initial pickup, and a couple of them happen in phone and text game. So the first big mistake that guys make is they don't qualify girls enough. Qualification should take, like, 10 to 15 minutes, and then you need to cycle it. Like, you need to give this girl a reason why you like her. You need to be able to demonstrate that you're interested in dating her, that you like her for specific, unique things about her. And furthermore, you want to do reverse qualification and have her talk about the stuff she likes about you as well. Qualification really is, it will cut down on a lot of your flaking because it changes the thinking in the girl's mind, right? Instead, when she sees a text message, when you've qualified really well, instead of just thinking like, oh, this guy's just trying to get me into bed, she goes, oh, this guy really likes me because of, you know, I have the similar music tastes, or, you know, we have similar philosophies on life or kids, or, you know, he likes that I'm Mexican, or whatever. She has reasons in her mind that you would be calling her that are more than pure sexual. So that separates you from 99% of the guys right there, in that she actually formed some sort of a connection for you, and she understands why you're calling her without it being purely sexual. So that's number one. The second big problem is the lack of a proper date setup. This is, again, in the initial pickup. Most guys, even sometimes, this is the step I get lazy on the most, because when it's really on, you know, or, you know, you're in a rush because you're leaving the club, or the lights are coming on and they're kicking you out, or the girl's friends are trying to pull her away, or whatever is happening near the end of the night, maybe you didn't take the time to seed a proper date, to tell a story about where the date happened, and then not invite the girl but oversell it, and then, you know, after that, set up a date for a specific time at a specific place for a specific activity. Like, doing that, again, cuts down immensely on your flaking compared to the, like, we should hang out sometime, or, like, take my phone number, or, you know, we should totally be friends, or any of the other weak number closes that I myself have been guilty at from time to time. You can see a difference in the responses when a girl has had a proper date set up. So, like, if I set up a date with a girl properly and then I ping her with a text, most of the time they'll say something like, "Oh my God, I'm so excited for karaoke on Wednesday." Like, they'll remember it. They'll be reminded of the fact that you guys are going out. You won't have to, like, try to convince them to go out with you over the phone as much. So there's a lot of good stuff that was going on with setting up a date. So qualifying, setting up a proper date, specific time, specific place, telling a story, seeding it, all that good stuff. And then the next thing is guys misunderstand the purpose of the phone. A lot of guys think that the phone exists solely to set up dates. A lot of guys think that the phone exists solely to, you know, send text messages. Some think the phone exists, you know, just to be annoying and get in the way. But the phone exists as a kind of preview of the date, right? So That's the way to think of the phone, is that you're giving a girl, like, a preview of what you're going to be like on the date. I realize this because I like to debrief girls. And debriefing girls is just basically, after you sleep with them, you ask them when they thought they were going to sleep with you. Oftentimes you'll get completely useless advice, but every now and then you get some real understanding into what things you're doing, get what responses in the girls you're doing them to. So I'll remember this forever. There was a girl named Marie at USC who I met, and then we would have these really, really long phone conversations. We'd talk on the phone for like 2-3 hours, you know, a really long time. And we probably did that for about a week or two, and then we hung out and we had sex the first time we hung out. And so afterwards I was like, "So, you know, when did you think that we were going to sleep together?" And she was like, "I liked you when we met, but I wasn't really sure if it was like sexual." And she's like, "And then when we talked on the phone, I just realized that we had a lot in common and that it was really comfortable to talk to you, so I knew it wouldn't be weird to hang out. And then I just figured that since you were attracted to me and I you know, thought you were cute and liked you, that eventually we'd have sex if we hung out long enough." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty interesting." So since then, it kind of changed my look at the phone. The point of the phone is to make the girl comfortable enough that she realizes that she'd have fun and that it won't be awkward in person. Right, so you can do that with text messaging, you can do that with calling. There's a lot of stuff you can do with the phone. The phone is a really good tool. I've personally met girls for 5 minutes. I met a girl in Chicago a few years ago who I met for 5 minutes in a club, and then over the course of 2 weeks through phone calls and text messages, I convinced her to pay for her own flight to spend the weekend with me in California. I've met other girls where I, you know, called or texted them for a week, for a month at a time, and nothing happened. And then a month later, they've decided to have sex with me. I've even taken other people's phone numbers and, like, used their phones to set up dates for them. So this stuff really can work, but you have to understand how to use the phone to show the things that are going to be important to make her want to meet up, but not just using it like, "Hey, okay, we're going out on this date." Like, you have to build comfort on the phone. You have to show her that if you hung out, because basically the phone is what's going to happen on a date without physical escalation, right? Because the majority of dates, you're going to do a lot of talking. Like, there's no way to have a good date without doing a lot of talking. So if you can't talk to her and have it be fun and flirty and all that stuff, then on the date, it's going to be the exact same situation, except you're going to be trying to fuck her at the end. So it makes a lot of sense why girls use this as kind of a screening mechanism. So if you're sending really boring text messages, what does that say about what it's going to be like to go out with you, right? The next thing is, the third biggest mistake guys make is they have a lack of follow-up. And a lack of follow-up will kill you. I guess that's the fourth mistake. But a lack of follow-up means they don't have a set idea of what they need to do to, A, get your phone number into that girl's phone, right? That's one of the biggest things. You've got to get your name into that girl's phone so that she doesn't just look at a random number, right? No girls, I have a ton of female friends, no girls respond to random phone numbers. If your number isn't in her phone, your chances of getting her to actually pick up the call or text drop to like 20% probably. So you got to get your number in her phone, right? You want to ping while the iron's hot, right? I always recommend people text in the 2 to 4 hour window after meeting for the purpose of A, getting your number into the phone while the emotions are still right, and B, for the purposes of pinning down that you have now communicated through the phone. You've gone back and forth. Now you're not gonna. It's gonna be harder for her to ignore you the next time if she's already gone back and forth with you once. So having a follow-up, like knowing when to call, right? Some people say 3 days. Some people say the same night. Some people say the next day. Some people say 2 weeks. You gotta know when to call based on the situation, right? Because a girl you meet social circle, you can call her a lot later than a girl you meet on a cold approach. A girl you meet, you know, through the internet, you can call later. Girls where it's really on, but they're going out of town, you can do different stuff. So understanding that and having a follow-up system for, like I said before, your short-term projects, your hard number closes, where it's like it's really on and you're going to see her within 2 or 3 days, it seems like, your softer closes, and your long-term projects, right? The girls where maybe it wasn't even that on, and you've got to even, like, reattract them through text message and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different stuff that goes into having a follow-up system, but you have to have a system you use all the time, right? Like, I do the exact same things. I send the same text messages. I call at the same times. Like, I vary it up the same way. I have, like, a system for when girls don't call me back. I have my voicemail stuff. Like, I have all the contingencies, all the different things mapped out for what you need to do as you're following up with a girl, depending on the situation. And if you don't have a system like that, then you're at a disadvantage because you're now thinking about, oh, should I text her now? Should I call her now? What should I do? You want to treat all your phone numbers the same. That's like another big thing with having a follow-up system is like every now and then you get the number of a girl who like rocks your world, right? Like every now and then I'll meet a girl who's just so hot and like has so much going for herself and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I've got to send the perfect text message or voicemail. And now that I've been doing this, you know, almost 7 years, I now realize that, like, you do everything exactly the same. The more you like a girl, the more you send a text message that you would send to a girl that you were not interested in at all. Like, you do the exact same things because those are the things that consistently work. If you have a great first text message, like I do, like, do you speak text? Then you use that all the time. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Reinventing the wheel is how you end up with bad phone and text game because you're always trying different things instead of finding one thing that works and using that consistently. And lastly, guys have bad phone game. Guys send really boring text messages like, hey, what's up? Nice meeting you last night. What are you doing today? Let's go out. Guys get on the phone and don't have anything to say, and they just ask the girls questions, or they sit there in silence, or they're not sure how to leave a voicemail. They don't understand how to be attractive on the phone, which is ironic because it's the same stuff you do in person, but it takes some time for that disconnect between the phone and real life to kind of kick in, and so guys don't practice, right? They have bad phone game because they don't practice. Like, when I was dealing with my phone flaking sticking point, I was on the phone 2-3 hours a day. Like, I had a set time, 5, 6 p.m. every day. I would sit down and I would call every girl in my phone, regardless of whether or not I had already had sex with them, if I was working on them, if they, you know, didn't even remember who I was. I sat there and I worked the phones because you learn through the school of hard knocks. By getting on the phone with girls enough, you learn how to kind of read through their voice inflection, whether or not they're into you. You learn how to keep things fun and flirty. You learn how to avoid awkward silences. You learn when you're supposed to get off the phone, which is all stuff that comes with a lot of massive experience. Like, if you're not getting, like, huge cell phone bills, well, I guess nowadays they have unlimited plans. But, like, back in the day, like, 2005, 2006, I was getting some $700, $800 telephone bills because they just didn't have unlimited yet, and I was on the phone that much. So that's kind of the work you need to do, is you need to get a lot of phone numbers. Like, one thing I recommend guys do is if they're getting some phone numbers and they have flaking, start trying to number close every set you're talking to. Even if they never pick up, that's another number you can call to practice, because you never know who's going to pick up or return text messages, and you need to call a lot of different girls and work on a lot of different girls in order to get really good at this stuff. So those are my five mistakes. I'll recap real quickly. The first one, lack of qualification. Not giving the girls reasons you like them, not getting her to talk about reasons you like her, she likes you. That's a big mistake. Then it's the lack of proper date setup. Not setting up a date, specific time, specific place, which works on the psychological principle of consistency and commitment. Then there's a lack of a proper follow-up, right? You don't follow up the right way. You don't have a system for following up for certain, the first text message you send, your first phone conversation, kind of not scripted, but has a rough outline of what you want to talk about. And then there's a misunderstanding of the phone, not understanding that the phone exists as a date preview, right? It exists to show the girl what's going to happen if she shows up on a date with you. And lastly, they have bad phone and text game because they don't practice enough, because they're not calling every number in their phone all the time and working these numbers until they're either, you know, they either just stop responding or you get the girl out on a date.
And part five there, you mentioned the idea of going out there and getting tons of phone numbers and just keep on following up and calling these girls. Mm-hmm. And I know I listened to a podcast of yours. I can't remember. You were talking about this concept about farming phone numbers.
Yep.
Can you kind of explain that?
Absolutely. So I kind of talked about it a little bit already, right? But the whole idea is, as phone numbers, they're kind of random anyway, right? Like we talked mm-hmm. about, I talked about the mindset of accepting the randomness, right? So if you're talking to a girl and getting a good response and you don't have enough time to properly set everything up, in the beginning, you should get her phone number anyway, even if she never picks it up, because what you're doing is you're creating this pool of girls, right? I remember back in the day, right? I'm kind of a numbers person, and like I talk a lot about percentages and stuff because I just have all this statistical data from almost 7 years of approaching girls now. And so back in the day, right after I took my mystery boot camp, I realized that it took me seven phone numbers to get a date. I realized of every seven phone numbers I got, that equaled one date. So if I wanted, so what that allowed me to do was it allowed me to kind of figure out how many dates I wanted to get and then how many phone numbers I wanted to get, right? Like 1 week I had the idea that I wanted to go on a date every week, so I needed to get 42 phone numbers. I didn't quite get 42 phone numbers, but I got enough that I went out on a date every night the next week, right? I think I got like 37, 38, somewhere around there. And so by doing that, that's the first thing when it comes to farming, right? When it comes to farming, you have to establish your baseline for how many phone numbers it takes you to get a date. So maybe right now, you know, it takes you 15 phone numbers to get a date, or 20. You know, maybe you've only gotten one date and you've gotten 100 phone numbers. All right, that's fine. But now you want to figure out, okay, I have a target this month. I want to go on, you know, two dates. So if it takes you, let's say, for most guys, it probably takes somewhere between 14 and 21 phone numbers to turn into a date when they're kind of starting out, you know, cold approach phone numbers, not phone numbers from the internet or social circle or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But again, they all go into the mix. So you figure, okay, I want to go on two dates, and it takes me 15 phone numbers to get a date, so I got to get 30 phone numbers to go on this date, right? Now, that doesn't mean you need to go out and get 30 solid phone numbers. It just means you need to go out and get 30 phone numbers and work through those numbers. And so here what you do is you want to break the girls into categories. This is what's awesome about technology. Like I said earlier, technology's kind of screwed things up and made girls flakier and made phone numbers less cool. But it's also allowed us to do cool shit like this. So most cell phones allow you to separate contacts now into groups. Even my ghetto Samsung phone has contacts by groups. My phone was like $129. Like, that's like how much it is if you lose it and you don't have replacement insurance. So it's a real cheap phone. But it allows you to, basically every cell phone allows you to group girls, people by contacts. So here we want to divide, and we want to divide into a couple different categories. You can call them whatever you want. I've had some pretty funny names for these categories over the years. But basically you're sorting them into, it's on, and if this girl flakes, it's going to be random. Like, those are the girls where you did everything right. You set up the date. You talked to them for at least 25 minutes. You set a specific time, specific place. You qualified. You know, you got a phone number and didn't leave right away. You didn't make any mistakes. So you put those girls in the on. Maybe you get, you know, two or three of those a week. Then you've got your girls where it was on, but there was some indicator of flakiness, right? Be it she wouldn't commit to the specific time, specific place. Maybe you ping her in the first 2 to 4 hours and she doesn't text you back. You know, maybe she seemed drunk. Maybe, you know, you had to get her phone number in a rushed way. These are your kind of maybes, working ons, right? And then you have your ones which are what I like to call your forces, right? Where you just forced a number because you had some attraction, right? Which is what I recommend that guys do when they're in their learning phases. Any girl you have attraction with, force the number close right before you leave. Maybe you get it, maybe you don't, but you put these girls in this file. And now we're going to farm these numbers. And what that means is we're going to send mass text messages and make calls on a specific time, and we're going to have three different tracks, right? So for our on girls, we want to get those girls out as quick as possible, right? The faster we can get them out, if we can get them out the next day, great. If we can't, within 2 to 3 days. That's kind of my definition of on is basically you should see her in the next 2 to 3 days. Like, it was on. Then you have your girls who had their indicators of flakiness. Now, with those girls, we want to just start text gaming all of them, because what's going to happen is some of them are going to respond right away, some of them are going to respond in time, some of them are not going to respond, and some of them are going to respond like the next day. So our next grouping is going to come from when we start texting or calling all these girls, we're going to now group by responsiveness. Right, so you're gonna now take your farming and you're gonna move girls up and down based on responsiveness. So, girl, you leave a voicemail for a girl and she calls you back within 2 hours. That girl's super into you, right? Girls do not call people back within 2 hours if they're not really into them, right? So that girl, maybe she was in the flaky category. Now she moves up. Maybe one of the girls that it was really on with, you pinged her and she pinged back, but then you call her the next day and she doesn't call you back, and you go to bed that night and she hasn't called you back. Well, guess what? She's moving down. She's moving down into the next group, which means she's going to get more like attraction-based texts and calls and less like trying to go for the date really hardcore. With the girls in the on group, we want to be like a killer on the phone. We want to get those girls to commit to coming out. With the girls in the less on group, the kind of indicator of flaky group, then we want to just build some attraction, be fun, you know, make sure to tell them we're doing a lot of cool stuff, talk about things we have going on that are neat that we're not inviting them to, and then see what they're going to do with responsiveness and let them kind of bring up the idea of a meet. And with the last girls, we're just throwing any idea we want to experiment with text, any girl who's not responding to texts or calls, you just throw random crap at the wall, right? So maybe you go sexual one time. Maybe you invite her out to dinner one time. Maybe you text her like one of my favorite things to do with girls where it's not on is I'll send them a text that looks like it was mistaken for meant for someone else. So let's say a girl's not responding. I'll be like, hey, pick up condoms on your way over. Key is in the usual place. You have to be out by morning, though, because my girlfriend comes back from Colorado. And so any girl in the world is going to respond to that, even if they're going to respond and be like, wrong person. That's just such a baiting text that like everyone in the world will respond to that. So I'll do stuff like that. You know, I'll call periodically, vary it up. But that's your kind of experimental group, because they're not calling back or texting back. You have nothing to lose. You might as well just once a month just keep texting that group. And girls, you know, become flakier and flakier, they move down and down into that group. But that group, that's really my farm, right? Is all the non-responsive chicks. Because what I'm going to do with that is I'm just going to keep sending mass text messages like every month or so forever. And, you know, any girl who, like, stops returning calls or texts or, like, flakes out on me on a date or, you know, just violates my rule of three, which is basically that if a girl either doesn't return calls or texts three times or flakes on a date three times, I just stop talking to them. Those girls all get moved down into the farm. And you would be amazed. I would say the farm averages probably 4 to 6 lays a year from just out of the ether. Because I just send those text messages once or twice a month. And, you know, like, sometimes, like, I think at one point I had, like, 138 girls in the farm. You know, and you just keep sending them. And sometimes they respond. Every now and then, girls will, like, respond, and then they go back up. They move back up into the group, right? So you never, that way you kind of never throw away any pussy. Because on a long enough time scale, the chance of a girl responding to text and not fucking me drops to zero. It's like life insurance. Like, on a long enough time scale, there is no survival. So on a long enough time scale, if I keep communicating with a girl, eventually she will fuck me. But she may need to be dropped into the farm a couple times on that process. And again, it doesn't take a lot of effort. And, you know, you can materialize 4 to 6 lays a year easily just from using this technique.
Obviously, I have a professional job, and once a year we have a trade show. And when you go to a trade show, you get customers or potential customers coming in. And the whole goal is just to swipe their ID there and get their contact information. And once we do that, you know, we have a system. We grade them like an A, B, C, or D, or E, or F. And then based on that, we keep on trying to get the sale from them. And like you said, sometimes, you know, you grade somebody like a D or F, and you end up selling them something. So this year, I mean, it's kind of cool what you did. You took kind of like a business thing, and you kind of apply it to your getting laid. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I basically, like I said, I look at it like we're making sales, right? The date is the sale. You get the girls into the system, and then, you know, you try to convince them to make the sale and meet up for the date. Like, that's the way it is. And, like, it's great because it takes all the personalization out of it, right? Like, you meet a girl, and it seems really on, and this happens, you know, a couple times a year. Doesn't happen all the time, like, but every now and then, like, I'll meet a girl where I'm like, man, I can't believe that girl flaked, but I never get too emotionally invested, because I know once we get to the phone, anything can happen, right? So until the girl's moved into the on group consistently, like, you can't get too attached, which just helps with the rejection, right? Because you are going to have a lot of phone numbers, especially in the beginning, that just don't turn into anything. So the less personalized you can make it, the better it's going to work out, for sure.
You're talking about, obviously, like, once you get a girl's number, you say that within 3 or 4 hours you send her a text, and you always use that one text that is like, do you speak text, with a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you say that many times.
Yeah.
Now, do you have kind of like, when you call them, like, the next day or whenever you call them next, do you have kind of like a certain topics that you always
absolutely.
Say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I share some, a little bit?
Sure, I'll
like
just kind
of
give.
Humor you might use or stories or something?
Sure, I'll kind of just give a, like, rough outline of the call, and I'll give a couple of things that I always do, right? So the first thing I want to do is I want to use callback humor, right? I want to specifically, like, in my setup process that I talk about, I always want to give the girl a nickname, right? So, like, princess I use a lot, kitten. For a while I was using catsuit feminist. Like, I'll just use anything that, like, just will immediately remind her of who I am, right? So I get on the phone, I'll be like, hey, princess, or hey, whatever. And that way, like, she's back to, like, oh, yeah, fun, flirty. Then I want to go right into a story. And the story is nothing too great. It's basically the funniest thing just happened story, right? It's just a random story. The one that started it all was back in 2005, and now Matador has been teaching this as his own material for, like, 5 years. But this is the gym fart story. This actually happened to me. I was at a gym, San Diego State Gym in San Diego, obviously, and I was working out, and there was this girl that I kind of, you know, knew. I didn't even know her name, but, like, we'd work in together, and we'd say hi to each other, like, just kind of, we worked out at the same time, and she, like, asked to come work out on the shoulder press machine with me. I'm like, okay. So we're, like, we're switching in, like, I do a set, she does a set, and on her third set, she's, like, pushing really hard, and she lets out the loudest fart I have ever heard in my entire life. And literally turns bright red and runs away. Like, literally jumps off the machine and runs away. And I didn't know whether to, like, feel bad for her or, like, laugh. So I just laughed. And that's basically my story. So I'll call the girl up and I'm like, oh my god, the funniest thing happened. And I don't really use this one that much anymore, because now what I do is I just use stuff that happened in my day, right? So like today I had like a really hard boxing workout where I thought my legs were going to fall off. So if I was calling a girl today, I'd talk about that, right? It doesn't have to be that great. It's just the idea is you want to avoid the awkward silence right away. And you want to avoid the, like, what are you doing? How was your day? Like, just the basic chit-chat that, like, stalls the phone conversations out really badly. So, right into a story. Then, after that, I want to start talking about things I'm excited about, whether they're work-wise, whether they're social things, whether they're workout things. But things I'm excited about this week, right? So, let's say, like, this week I have sparring again on Thursday. I'm, like, really looking forward to that. I'm going to see Chelsea Handler in concert next week. What else? I'm playing slosh ball on Sunday. So I talk about things that I'm excited about, but I don't invite her to them, you know? Or if they're like career things, you know, if I got a freelance article in a magazine or something like that, I'll be like, oh my God, you know, I'm really excited about this, that, or the other. But the idea is to start showing some parts of your life, right? Show that you have things going on, that you're not just calling to ask her out, that you're not just calling and you have no social life whatsoever and you're just desperately hoping that she'll go out with you. I'll talk about a couple things I'm excited about coming up. And what I do next is, what happens next generally is what I like to think of as the first call showdown, right? Where girls have really good social skills, but their social skills aren't that much better. And at some point, one of the two of you is going to ask what you're doing tonight, right? So you never talk about what you're doing that night, because this is like the little loophole to getting instant dates, right? This was like one of the things I discovered really early on, was that like if I did those first three things, girls would ask me what I was doing that night, right? And so then you have like a variety of options, right? If you're actually free that night and you want to do something with her, you can try to set up a date. So I'd say something like, you know, later on I'm actually going to see this comedy show with my friend Chelsea, but before that I was thinking about going to get a Bloody Mary. It sounds really good with me. So about, like, I only have like an hour and a half though, but why don't you come meet me for a drink? And I have a really good success rate with that. And then lo and behold, like my friend cancels and doesn't want to go do whatever I was going to go do later. And the girl feels flattered and we hang out more. So that's kind of my general plan, is I want to force that instant date situation. I want her to be like, what are you doing tonight? And give me the opportunity to ask her out right there and then. And if that doesn't come up, or if she's like, she doesn't ask me what I'm doing, or if I like, or if she's like busy that night or whatnot, you know, no big deal. And then I just want to build comfort after that. I just want to kind of all the stuff you would do in comfort, asking her questions, talking about things that are important to me, trying to find commonalities, building rapport. I do a lot of conspiracy stuff on the phone, so like role plays and kind of me and you against the world type stuff. Like I always like talk to the girl about like how the world needs to be like remade, and me and her should be like the like new designers of the world, and I'll like have her play around. And like on the first phone call we always do, I'll be like, all right, so like what would happen in the perfect world? And I'll be like, okay, first of all, you wouldn't ever be allowed to get up before 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, that's like my first thing right there. And then she'll be like, okay, and then she'll say something, and that's kind of like a fun little interactive conspiracy type thing you can do on the first phone call as well. And then I'll talk to the girls for as long as they'll talk, as long as it's flirty and fun, and as long as I can end it first. Like if the girl's like, oh yeah, I have to go to dinner in like 15 minutes, like I'll keep an eye on the time, and in like 12 minutes I'll be like, all right, well I should let you go, I'll talk to you later. Because it really does make a difference who ends the phone call. Like I know that sounds weird, but psychologically, like whoever ends the phone calls or the text message exchanges first has the complete upper hand in terms of when they can call and text, and it really just helps you avoid being needy, which is not attractive, as we all know. So that's kind of my first phone call structure a little bit. Like I said, with some girls, I've talked to them on the phone the first call for 3 hours. Other girls, it's like 5 minutes and she's really distracted, so I try to get off the phone as quick as possible.
I think we cover a lot of stuff here. So somebody, like, it seems like you have your own system now. I know you gave us little bits and pieces here and there. Now, if somebody wants to learn your whole, like, phone game and your anti-flaking stuff, do you have some kind of program that they
can get? Yeah, we actually have a really awesome program called the Flake Elimination Toolkit, which has transcripts of my word-by-word text conversations with three different girls I ended up going on dates and having sex with. It's got the Phone Game 2.0 CD, which is everything you'll ever need to know about Phone Game. It's got a short thing on text messages and, like, basic rules for texting. And it's got the transcript and call of my phone and text flaking call I did with my 12 Months to Mastery guys. So there's a lot of really, really cool stuff in it. You can find it at www.sinsofattraction.com/flakeskit with an S, FLAKESKIT. It's a really, really awesome program, and it's all fully downloadable, so as soon as you buy it, you can have access to it and learn everything you would ever need to know about making sure that 80% of your phone numbers turn into dates, and if you're good on dates, which is a whole nother topic of conversation that maybe we can come back and do an interview on later, you can turn those into lays. So I really cannot recommend it enough. It's sinsofattraction.com, S-I-N-N-S of attraction.com. /flakes with a S, FLAKES kit, KIT. So definitely check that out.
But yeah, cool, man. I think this is really helpful. I mean, I think I learned some stuff here.
Awesome. So awesome.
I want to thank you, Sin, once again for doing another interview with me. It's always great. I mean, you're doing kick ass. 2009, you kicked ass. In 2010, man, I know you start your new Seduction Roadmap program, and looks like you're going to kick ass in 2010, too, man. So I'm glad. Anytime I get an opportunity to do an interview with you, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, awesome, man. Great to have you. We'll definitely have to do another one soon.
Sounds good, man.
Cool, man. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, bye. So that wraps up my interview with Sin about phone game, text game, and anti-flaking techniques. So before I let you go, I want to hit you up with two different things. Number one, if you didn't get that web address that Sin mentioned during the interview, I made a shortcut for you. It goes to the same web address, but it's going to be a lot easier for you to remember and for you to type into your web browser to go to it. It's eseduce.com/flakes. Eseduce, that's E-S-E-D-U-C-E, just the word seduce with the letter E in front of it, .com/flakes, F-L-A-K-E-S, just like Frosted Flakes. So eseduce.com/flakes will take you to a website where there's a video. You can watch it. You can learn all about the Sin's anti-flaking program and his phone game program. Highly recommend it. Check it out. Second thing, if you didn't get my last interview with Sin, you can get it for free. Basically, all you got to do is go to eseduce.com/newsletter and sign up for my newsletter. Once you sign up and confirm your subscription, I'll send you a link where you can download it. It's an MP3 format. You can listen to it on your iPod. You can listen to it on your iPhone. Wherever you got, you can listen to it on. And you can even burn a CD for it if you're like my parents and you're living in the Stone Age. Maybe you can chip out or press a vinyl record of it. I don't really give a shit. But anyhow, you can get it for free. Just go to eseduce.com/newsletter. Sign up for my newsletter. I'll send you the link. You can download it hour long. And that one was a little different format than this one. Rather than covering just one topic, basically I hit up my newsletter subscribers, said, hey, do you guys get any questions for Sin? Of course, they had tons of them. And I asked Sin during the interview, I just kept on asking Sin questions. And basically we covered like natural game versus routines. What does Sin recommend? How to pick up girls in college. You know, if you're ugly, short, you know, old, how you pick up hot girls. If a girl is a different ethnicity, like if she's like Asian or Middle Eastern, how do you go about picking her up? Obviously, they act a little different than your traditional American person. I talked about how to deal with difficult wingmen, how I use pop cultural references when talking to women, how to escalate, how to initiate sexual encounters with women. You know, and then at the end there, basically, we got in a little fun conversation there where Sin talked a little shit, started a little beef with a couple pickup artist guys. He talked a little shit about David Weigand, Erica Awakening, a little bit about Mystery and Neil Strauss, and this guy called Alex from Real Social Dynamics. Really fun, really interesting. Sin has a lot of great content, and he knows how to be entertained, too, and talk a little shit, too. So, great interview. Go check it out. Download it. Sign up for my newsletter. You'll get the link. eseduce.com/newsletter. This is MacTite of eseduce.com. And as always, it's casual. Thanks for listening. Take it easy now.